city that's, we'd say, football crazy.
Well, everything I've got about football, owe to football. And the dedication and what I put into the game.
Yes.
You only get into, out the game what you put into it, Shelley.
Mm-hmm.
And I put everything into it I could and still do for the people and for the people that I was playing for and the people that I was manager for. I didn't cheat them out of anything. So I put all my heart and soul to the extent that my family suffered.
Do you regret that at all?
I regret it very much, yeah. Somebody said the football's a matter of life and death to you. I said, listen, it's more important than that.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the HLTCO General Football Podcast for Tuesday, the 23rd of September, 2025. There was one game in the Championship last night. It took place at the Den between Millwall and Watford and saw a 1-0 victory for Alex Neil's side on home turf to leave them, I believe, 10th in the Championship table, a relatively early goal for the Lions that gives them that sense of momentum that has been built in the early stages of this campaign. You know, at the moment, they are still outsiders, I think, for a playoff place, but you never know. You know, it's still a very early point of the season, and if they do get up ahead of steam between now and Christmas, who knows, maybe Alex Neil's men can crash into the playoffs and then make it their way into the Premier League for the first time in the Premier League era. But Tuesday mornings are not really about English football, they are about the continent as a collective. I like to go through everything major that has occurred across Spain, Germany, Italy and France over the weekend just gone, and that is what I'm going to do for you right now. Starting off in Spain, Real Madrid maintained their perfect start to the La Liga season with a 2-0 victory over Espanyol at the Santiago Bernabeu over the weekend, courtesy of goals from Eder Militao and Kylian Mbappe, one in each half. It hands their rivals their first defeat of the campaign. Real Madrid, by contrast, sitting comfortably at the very top of the standings with a perfect 15 points from their opening five matches. And, you know, I appreciate that Barcelona are doing their level best to keep pace. But, of course, if Xabi Alonso and his players continue to go at this ridiculous start, then they will be one of the greatest club sides to have ever lived. But, you know, we have to temper it a little bit. You know, I was unsure, really, as to how Xabi Alonso would handle this transition to becoming Real Madrid boss. Of course, you are blessed with some of the very best players on the planet. You've got an incredibly large budget. You've got all of the majesty and history that exists around Real Madrid backing you up. But that can swallow certain individuals. You know, you look at Xabi Alonso, somebody who oozes cool, charisma, calm, and obviously is a previous Real Madrid player himself. So everything really pointed, given the fantastic work that he undertook as Bayer Leverkusen boss, to this being a success. But you can never guarantee these things. You know, it's very much a tea bag in a cup of tea, or a cup of hot water, actually. It doesn't become a cup of tea until the tea bag is in there. But a tea bag in a cup of hot water situation. And to be honest, you know, he's passing every test at the moment with flying colours. As I say, Militao opened the scoring after 20-odd minutes with a stunning strike from long range. It was a thunderous right-footed effort that left the Espanyol goalkeeper with no chance as it flew into the top left-hand corner. And then Kylian Mbappe extended the lead to 2-0 shortly after the second half began with a precise effort into the bottom left-hand corner from the edge of the box. Ferran Torres scored twice for Barcelona. They got a comfortable 3-0 victory over Getafe on Sunday. Dani Olmo scored the other goal and grabbed an assist. It was a very impressive display from Hansi Flick's players. And, you know, again, they've got 13 points after five games. It's a very, very solid return. It's just not quite as good as five wins from five. But I'm sure there will be plenty of water to pass under the bridge at the very top of the Spanish game between now and May. Atletico Madrid, by contrast, are really struggling in La Liga this season. They had a 1-1 draw at Mallorca on Sunday. I question, really, what exactly is happening with Atleti. You know, Diego Simeone, as I've often said on this podcast, is so synonymous with that club, with that kit. You know, the all-black suit that he wears, stalking on the touchline like this man possessed. But he has been there so, so long that you would expect at least a few months here and there to have a bit of a drop-off. And at the very start of this campaign, it's no doubt about it, they are struggling for form. We saw Conor Gallagher grab a goal for Atleti, but it was not enough for them to pick up all 3 points. It leaves them down in 12th place with just 6 points from their opening five matches. Mallorca are 19th with just 2 points. So even if you look at the early running, it's not as though they've come up against the side in Mallorca who are punching above their weight. If anything, they would have expected to get 3 points here as a matter of course. Moving our attention to Italy, Juventus' three-match winning streak in Serie A is over. They were held to a 1-1 draw by Verona. A gift, Orban's equaliser from a penalty spot even on 44 minutes, cancelling out Conceição's strike. He made his first appearance, Conceição, since suffering with a muscle injury earlier this month. He scored in the 19th minute. But as I say, it got back to one apiece from Verona, and that was how it stayed. Obviously, extremely frustrating for Juventus and their coaching staff, but at the same time, you were going to expect that across a 38-game campaign, you are going to have these slight hurdles that you can't quite get over. Milan took advantage of Juventus' slip to move within a point of them near the top of the table. Christian Pulisic marking his return to the starting 11 with 2 goals and an assist in a 3-0 victory against Udinese away from home. It lifted them up to third. They were on 9 points. Napoli, of course, had to wait until last night to play their game at home to Pisa. They ended up winning 3-2 in Naples. Billy Gilmore won man of the match. Scott McTominay, who by the way came 18th in the Ballon d'Or voting, quite remarkable that the Scotsman, former Manchester United man, has had that much of a renaissance in Naples, winning Serie A of course and having his face plastered on murals and paintings and towels and whatever else you might want across that city, getting all the way up to 18th in the Ballon d'Or voting. They maintained their perfect record at the start of this Italian season, and who would back against Napoli going all the way and winning back-to-back Serie A's. Inter Milan kick-started their campaign in Italy with a 2-1 win at San Siro against Sassuolo on Sunday. It was a game where the host wasted plenty of opportunities and conceded a late goal, but they did hold on for a much needed 3 points. And you know, if they were in a more fluent mood and pattern, then they could easily have won that game 3 or 4 nil. It wasn't to be the case, but at this stage of the season, when you are looking for that sense of momentum, the main thing is that you pick up victories however they come. Stripped of his captaincy and pretty much down in the dumps, Lorenzo Pellegrini has had a difficult start to this particular season in Rome. But of course, the Rome derby occurred this weekend, and Roma got the better of Lazio 1-0 in Serie A on Sunday. Pellegrini himself was instrumental in it, and you know that will be a huge boost for him. I feel Roma are a very interesting side this season. You know, we all know that Giampiero Gasperini has moved there from Atalanta across this summer. He spent some 9 years with the side from Bergamo between June of 2016 until June of 2025. He has now made the move to the Olimpico. Prior to that, of course, he has had a very vast managerial career, taking over at Genoa twice, 2 separate spells in charge of Crotone. He had the Inter Milan job between June and September of 2011 as well, different spells with Palermo. But you look at Gasperini's career, and particularly what he managed to do with Atalanta, it was quite remarkable. And, you know, 67 years old, he's been there, seen it, done it, got the T-shirt, and now he has this opportunity with Roma to really take them on. And, you know, this may not have been a victory that was secured with a flourish as such. You know, a 1-0 win, a goal in the 38th minute, 2 red cards as well for Lazio, albeit late on. There was one on 85 before Guendouzi was sent off in the depths of stoppage time. But the main thing is that they've gone there. I say gone there, of course, it's their own ground. And they've ground out the victory. It wasn't, you know, a particularly dominant performance. They had pretty much the same XG, the same possession. Very similar in terms of overall shot count. I think on target they had 6 compared to Lazio's 2. But overall, you know, getting that win, having just 1 defeat so far this season, admittedly at home to Torino, it will set them up for a pretty solid run in the Serie A campaign. They travel to Nice tomorrow in the Europa League. That's an 8 o'clock kickoff in France before welcoming Verona, who of course will have been boosted by that 1-1 draw against Juve last weekend. They welcome them to Rome on Sunday, a 2 o'clock kickoff. So we'll have to see how they get on. But, you know, I think in general, Gasperini can be pretty pleased with the start that he has made to that particular job. Turning our attention to Germany, Bayern Munich maintained their perfect start to the Bundesliga season, getting the better of Hoffenheim by a scoreline of 4-1 on Saturday. Harry Kane netting 2 penalties and getting a 9th hat-trick for the German league leaders. His goal record out there is just astounding. You know, and I've said it so often over the years, I felt he was hugely disrespected during his time with Spurs. He never really did get the plaudits that he deserved as far as I was concerned. And of course, if he had stayed with Tottenham or indeed stayed in the Premier League, he would be a shoo-in for me to go and capture Alan Shearer's all-time goal-scoring record. Just so you can see the numbers in this particular campaign. So far, he has played 4 Bundesliga games, grabbing 8 goals and getting 8 goals and 3 assists to rack it up to 11 goal contributions in just 4 games so far this season. He, of course, bagged the brace in their 3-1 win over Chelsea in the Champions League as well. For England, he was on target against Serbia. He's just an incredible footballer. And, you know, you look at last season, for example, 46 games, 38 goals, 11 assists. Prior to that, 45 games, 44 goals and 12 assists. And so far this season, 12 games, 16 goals and 4 assists. It's outrageous, the numbers that he is putting up in Bayern Munich colours. And, you know, you see no reason for it to slow down, really. He is not a player that has ever really utilised pace. He can drop deep, he can link play. His passing range is outrageously good for any footballer, let alone a striker. And, you know, I can see him playing till 37, 38 years old and still chipping in with 10 to 15 goals a season. I don't see any reason why he couldn't. Maybe if he came back to the Premier League, that wouldn't necessarily be the case because of the general physicality and pace of play. But if he was to remain at Bayern Munich, he could easily be putting up 25 to 30 goals a season for another 5 years. It's quite remarkable on every single measure, really. Borussia Dortmund managed to carve out a 1-0 victory against Wolfsburg. Karim Adeyemi's first half strike sends them up to second place in the Bundesliga. Borussia Dortmund fresh from a midweek 4-4 draw against Juventus, in which, you know, it was a topsy-turvy game in the truest sense of the word, and Juve battled back against all the odds really on home turf to secure that point. And you could have expected that the hangover for Borussia Dortmund would be a severe one, but the fact they've managed to get a clean sheet and a 1-0 win will put them in a very positive frame of mind, you would assume, for the challenges to come in the next few weeks. They secured 3 points after Adeyemi, who also scored against Juventus, of course, unleashed a ferocious shot that reached 125 kilometres per hour, by the way. Just an absolute belter from him. Moving over to France, Marseille got the better of PSG last night with a scoreline of 1-0. In the south of the country, Naif Aguerd, the former West Ham man, bagging after just 5 minutes. The game was initially scheduled to be played on Sunday, but a major storm in the area meant that it had to be postponed. And of course, it clashed directly with the Ballon d'Or ceremony that was taking place in Paris at the same time. Ousmane Dembélé picking up the highly coveted Ballon d'Or award at that particular ceremony. And for PSG, it will be, you know, hugely frustrating. They've dropped 3 points. They are actually behind Monaco on goal difference at the top of France now. Of course, you would expect across the entire campaign for the Parisians to get their act together and pick up the title. But a huge win and clean sheet for Marseille on home turf, and one that I'm sure they will savour for the rest of this week. Just quickly as well, I don't normally do this, but just to move over to Portugal for a moment. Jose Mourinho enjoyed a winning return to coaching in his native country after his Benfica side got the better of AFS 3-0 away from home on Saturday. It was announced that he was going to take over as Benfica's coach on Thursday. And even though, you know, it's the definition of a shoe-in, really, you would expect Benfica to get the better of AFS home or away 99 times out of 100. You've still got to do it, and they managed to score 3, not concede, and I'm sure Jose Mourinho will be over the moon to have made a winning start to life back in his country. The win left Benfica in second place in the Portuguese table, 5 points behind Porto with a game in hand. I think Porto have had a perfect start to the league season so far. Just looking ahead to tonight, obviously the League Cup returns. We've got all sorts of games taking place across the country. Barnsley welcoming Brighton to Oakwell, Burnley hosting Cardiff at Turf Moor, Fulham taking on Cambridge at Craven Cottage, Lincoln City welcoming Chelsea in a true David versus Goliath clash, Wigan against Wickham, Wolves taking on Premier League opposition in Everton at Molineux, looking for some sense of momentum. You know, it's been a rough start in every single way for Wolves to this Premier League campaign with no points. And if they can pick up a win here, you know, it would be something of a morale boost. However, I'm sure they would far rather have points on the board in the Premier League. Phil Parkinson's Wrexham take on Reading, and Liverpool host Southampton and Will Steele at Anfield. There are also four games in Spain. Athletic Club taking on Girona at San Mamés. Espanyol hosting Valencia. Levante welcoming Real Madrid. That's an 8:30 kickoff, and Sevilla taking on Villarreal in Seville. There are also two games in the Scottish Premiership, with Dundee United welcoming Aberdeen and Falkirk taking on Hibs. So plenty of football to look forward to, including the second game for Jose Mourinho as Benfica boss at home against Rio Ave. As I say, Porto have a record of 6 wins from 6 so far this season. This is the game in hand for Benfica. If they do win it, they will go up to 16 points, just 2 behind Porto at the top of the table. So really, it's very, very important when you've got a side in Porto that have, you know, started so, so well. They have to wait until Thursday to play the next game, by the way, away at Salzburg in the Europa League. But following on from that, you would expect them to get straight back at it in the Portuguese domestic division. And then if you look towards the 5th of October, they welcome Benfica to their ground, 9:15 kickoff UK time on Sunday. So a game to keep in the back of your mind as we approach the end of September and the beginning of October, because it could be an absolute belter, that one, particularly if Benfica manage to keep up their form between now and then. In relation to Jose Mourinho, of course, Benfica are in the Champions League, and who are their first opponents in this year's competition under Jose Mourinho's guidance? Chelsea away. So there's a degree of drama there, of narrative, that I'm sure everyone's going to buy into, and quite rightly so. Other than that, there isn't a great deal for me to bring you up to date with on this Tuesday morning, so I will sign off on that thought. Have a lovely day, and I'll look forward to speaking to you again bright and early tomorrow. Bye for now.